And we continue at 1:06 in the afternoon, Talk Radio 790 KABC, The John Phillips Show, broadcasting live in exile from the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa Living Room Studios, and it's time to fully reopen the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wang's at the sports desk in Culver City.
John, in 2 weeks, we will have a new mayor in Los Angeles, which means this guy will have to go rhyme somewhere else.
People in poverty come up to middle class, retain a middle class. Actually, you get critical mass.
Do you think he's trying to do that, or do you think it just comes naturally to him?
No, he's trying. He thinks he's clever.
They didn't think he was too clever at the Hollywood Christmas parade.
No, they did not.
And you couldn't go to India, Eric.
God, I love the holidays.
And you couldn't go to India, Eric.
Just sitting on the back of a convertible with sirens and a megaphone, and nobody is paying attention to you except from the guy at Film the Police LA who's heckling you the whole way about Rick Jacobs. Perfect definition for his entire mayoral career.
Well, it is the season of giving.
And you couldn't go to India, Eric.
800-222-KABC is the telephone number. 1-800-222-5222. It is a pleasure to welcome our next guest to the program. She is a professor of political science emeritus at California State University at Fullerton. Barbara Stone, welcome.
Good afternoon, John.
I would imagine you're having a better day than Eric Garcetti had yesterday.
Poor Eric Garcetti. I suspect what will happen to him is he will fade off into the real world or some world like his dad did and be just fine. But poor guy.
This cannot be fun for him. Not knowing whether or not you're going to get confirmed by the Senate. Everyone has moved on. Everyone's focusing on the next mayor of Los Angeles. Clearly he has his detractors. That's not a fun life.
No, it's not. But it's almost over because, but not his life, but, you know, this particular part of it, because his nomination dies at the end of this Congress, which is January 3rd. Maybe the president will be able to jam it through. I kind of doubt it. But you never know. And to be honest, the one people should be being really nasty about, if he can't jam it through, is the administration. In world politics today, India is a big, big deal. And when the United States does not even bother to send an ambassador, that tells them that the United States doesn't care about them, and very bad things happen. So I feel I understand the stuff on Eric Garcetti. Maybe some people believe he didn't know about what was going on in his office. I'm not one of those. But one way or the other, being hung there is lousy for him, but it's even worse for the country.
Well, if you're the administration, why don't you either cut bait and put someone else in that position or really use your muscle to get him through? But just letting him hang there in purgatory, that seems like a lose-lose situation for all parties.
Well, it's one of two things. It is always possible, that he's well enough connected that the president's willing to bring enough pressure to bear. I don't know how much he has to bring, but anyhow. And that the word is just wait till after the election. Okay, we can make this happen in lame duck after certain people have survived or this, that, or the other. I don't necessarily believe that's true, but that's one possibility. The other is that the Biden administration is just as incompetent as I think they are. So what do you do with that?
Speaking of which, the governor of the state of California, Gavin Newsom, came out in Politico over the weekend and said that he let Joe Biden know that he would not be running against him in a Democratic primary, so you've got nothing to worry about from him, but was volunteering to be a surrogate, the surrogate of all surrogates in the upcoming presidential election so that Joe Biden will win another four-year term. What do you make of all of that?
That boy is running so hard. He can't tell which way is up. Actually, I read somewhere, perhaps it too was in Politico, that the White House is really upset with Gavin for this. If you will recall, not too long ago, he happened to be in Washington when the president wasn't there, happened to be photographed in front of the White House, and then he was off in Florida and Texas challenging those evil Republicans on everything they were doing. And he said then, I'm not interested. Not running, not interested. I suspect without knowing that the proximate cause of the White House agitation is that Gavin's name is beginning to show up on speculative lists of Democrat nominees. I've seen half a dozen where they run down it and go, well, maybe Joe, Kamala. And then I swear, Gavin's the next one they give you. He's moved ahead of Pete Buttigieg in that. And, John, the White House is looking. Gavin clearly would love to do it. And if I'm them, I'm going down, boy. Except you're not going to stop him doing what he does. But what can you do here?
Well, let's just think about the logic of leaking the story that you were not going to challenge Joe Biden in a Democratic primary. That is the political equivalent of leaking a story to a tabloid saying Gavin Newsom is not going to divorce his wife. He's not thinking about doing that right now. Well, why would you plan a story like that unless you assume that everyone was thinking that he was going to leave his wife?
Well, you're planning it because everybody knows he intends to run for president. Okay, your parallel is really good, and I will believe that this time around there is some signaling from the White House about, boy, you're upsetting us now. But he has to say it, and he's going to keep right on running as hard as he can, because he's been reelected, he's in his last term, he thinks he should be president. And actually, where else is there for him to go unless he decides to run for the Senate?
What do you think California is going to look like with a completely disengaged Gavin Newsom? Because he was totally disengaged during his reelection battle. He was focused on national subjects during the recall campaign. It wasn't until he did that he started to turn his poll numbers around. And if he was that disengaged during a recall campaign and during a reelection campaign, just imagine what he's going to be like as a lame duck.
Okay, John, I'm going to be unkind here. We should be so lucky as to have him disengaged. Okay? But Gavin, while he's disengaged from the things you and I on the whole think are important, he's not going to be disengaged. This is a man who, from his earliest days as mayor of San Francisco, has engaged in great gestures, promising magnificent things. They never happen, but on the way to that, he can mess things up. Example, he just decided, in case you didn't notice it, to hold up $1 billion in state funds going to local government, primarily cities, for homelessness. That's because they don't have grand enough plans. And he, what was it, within the last week or so, had a meeting. All those mayors went to Sacramento to meet with the governor and hear how they have to do more and bigger and finer. Even Eric Garcetti complained. Poor guy. And... And then he went, well, maybe I'll give you the money, whatever. All right. I honestly believe with homelessness in this state, the problem is a lack of intellectual clarity combined with political will. However, there is money involved. And the problem with government money is it's not usually very reliable. And if you come up with these wonderful plans, you need to be assured the money's going to keep going. Gavin just told you it's not when he needs to grandstand. and you say, well, surely the state has a great plan. No, they've just been throwing the money out there. And now he's suddenly going, well, your plans aren't any good. He's going to really muck things up, John, is what he's going to do.
Well, if he's offering himself up as a surrogate, what he's essentially saying is he wants to be booked on Meet the Press. He wants to be booked on The View.
Yep.
He wants to be booked on the late night programs. But for as much as he hates Donald Trump and as much as his politics are different than Donald Trump's, he's very much similar to Donald Trump in certain aspects. He loves to talk about himself. If he gets booked on these shows, he's not going to be talking about Joe Biden. He's going to be talking about Gavin Newsom. And if you're Joe Biden, you don't want a surrogate out there talking about himself and not talking about you.
You just came from Las Vegas, right?
Yes.
I rarely go there because I don't bet. I think I've told you, except on horses and sure things. On this one, I'm willing to take a bet that the Biden administration does not have Gavin Newsom out being their surrogate in a presidential election, which starts almost immediately. I'd be willing to bet money on that. They're dim, but they're not that stupid.
What do you think the odds are they would appoint him to something to get him out of the way to make sure that he's not going to be a problem? Because if you're a cabinet secretary, you cannot participate overtly.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
In campaigns and elections, you're supposed to be above that. That's how Hilda Solis got in trouble when she was Secretary of Labor. If he were to get nominated for something, the Lieutenant Governor of California would then become the governor. She hasn't really had a job in her political history where you can look to and say, okay, she'd be this type of governor. She'd be doing and saying these sorts of things. She was the ambassador to Hungary. Then she became the lieutenant governor, where there aren't really any duties. We could end up with a situation, if they just decide they need to get him out of the way, where the largest state in the union has a very rich governor that no one has ever heard of before and no one knows anything about.
Just like New York just did, huh?
Yes.
Could we end up there? Of course we could end up there. I may be wrong, since I'm doing this on the fly. I think the downside of that is I don't think Gavin would take it. Can you imagine one of his former, whatever you want to call him, Javier Becerra, is head of Health and Human Services, which is a really big deal, especially since we've had COVID, right? Do you think anyone has any clue who Javier Becerra is and what's going to happen, where he's going after here? The answer is no place I can think of. Gavin Newsom is many things I do not admire. I do not, however, believe he is totally stupid. Well, there's some that are. But at this moment in time, I cannot imagine him accepting a cabinet position. I really can't. Unless suddenly you want him to be Secretary of State, and they're not going to replace Anthony Blinken with him. And I wouldn't trust him if I were the president to do what would need to be done, which is not marching around promoting yourself. I don't think he'd take it. Now, can I find a place, since we're playing games like this, where Gavin could land, and if it's become clear to him, Gavin, you just aren't going to be president. Sorry, they'll do everything they can to undercut you, and have we discussed your relationships with your current wife recently? You know where I'd try to get him to go? I'd try to get him to go to the Senate. And if he decided to run and made the decision fairly quickly, I would... John, I think he'd win hands down. Because you tell me, we're a Democrat state. Dianne Feinstein will not be running again. It's going to be a Democrat, but you tell me any Democrat anyone knows the name of other than Gavin Newsom.
Adam Schiff and Katie Porter are the two that are rumored to want that job.
Oh, Adam Schiff, what do you mean rumored? He's telling everybody he can find he wants that job. Okay, Katie Porter, frankly, may think everybody knows who she is. They don't. Adam Schiff, to some extent, they do. And I will admit that the... I'd love to run against him playing the Addams Family theme talk, but well, that you know, that's just there. But could you beat him? Could Gavin Newsom beat Adam Schiff? Come on. In fact, the only person at this moment in time I can think of, though I'm totally making this up, who would be difficult for him is Karen Bass.
But she just started a new job. She's not going to leave being mayor.
How do
of Los
you
Angeles.
Know that, Mr. Phillips? How would you like to actually have to be in charge of running the city of Los Angeles with that council? Think about the people who put her in office. Can she do what needs to be done to stop crime? She absolutely cannot. What you need to do is pretend you're Rudy Giuliani at his height, and her people would never let her do it. Can you solve homelessness, meaning get the people off the street? You have all the homeless advocates who want them on the street. You can't possibly do what needs to be done. Right now, you're at your height. I guess if I were her advisor, I'd say, Karen, don't be stupid. Go out, actually plan something that will look big. People can see right now, look how good she is, and then run for Senate. And do it quickly before Gavin decides he's going to.
It's amazing how that job just chews people up and spits them out. Because you have so many people who have all kinds of political ambitions, who become mayor of L.A. Go all the way back to Sam Yorty. Sam Yorty thought he was going to be president. He thought he was going to be senator. He thought he was going to be everything that existed in the political world in California. None of it ended up happening. Tom Bradley thought he was going to be governor on not one but two occasions. That didn't happen. Dick Reardon ran for governor. He lost. Jimmy Hahn couldn't win re-election. Antonio Villaraigosa ran for governor. He lost. Eric Garcetti can't even get confirmed to be ambassador to India. So you're right where if she sticks around in that job too long, she's going to be a pariah.
Yes, and remember it has term limits. And if you've, well, and if she, to run, let's say, for governor, she could do that, but she has to then not run for mayor for re-election if she did it in 4 years and beyond that's too far out. Big city mayors in particular, John, it isn't just in California. The job eats you up. You're actually expected to run things, more or less. And if crime happens, you can't just introduce a bill and look what I tried to do. They expect you to fix it. And it's at one level almost impossible. I just mentioned the name Giuliani. He made a run at the presidency. Oops, sorry, didn't go anywhere. Big city mayors, very few, go beyond being a big city mayor because it's an awful job. So if she has political ambitions, she needs to be looking now.
You mentioned the Department of Health and Human Services earlier. That department last week issued recommendations to local public health departments that they bring back mask mandates or strongly encourage their populations to wear masks. As soon as I heard that, I thought to myself, if any public health director is going to jump at the opportunity to bring the mask back, it's going to be the fake doctor, Barbara Ferrer. Yet so far, all she's doing is strongly recommending that you wear a mask with the implicit threat that if you don't, she's going to bring back the mandate. Do you think at this point in the pandemic, or I guess if you believe Joe Biden, the pandemic is completely over with, at this point, do you think she could politically get away with bringing it back in L.A.?
No. And I say that like I know it, and of course I don't. I would never underestimate what this board might do. But, excuse me, what I actually think on this is that they went through this. We basically already had the rebellion, and however it worked, we backed off. I don't see where on earth you get that. And it's just, it was a power play is what it is. And showed that you two now control the population just like they do in China. And I think you'd see a rebellion that, shoot, we might get some Republicans elected to some.
How do you think this movie ends for her?
She'll ride off in a blaze of... Well, but she's not that old, is she?
I think she's in her 60s.
Well, I take it back. She's old.
She claims she's in a health risk group.
The world is wonderful. I think she will try to find a landing place where when she retires... I'm making this up, obviously. I don't know the woman. Where when she retires in a blaze of glory, honored by everybody nationally from Los Angeles County, she will make a fortune somehow. I don't know if it's a consultant, it's somebody's face thing, this, that, or the other, and will ride off on her broomstick. Well, I told you, and I'm sorry, I hate that kind of ad hominem attack, but the woman is a disgrace. I think she'd actually probably be a disgrace in social work where she belongs, but on this, it shouldn't be happening.
Absolutely. From your lips to God's ears. Professor Barbara Stone, Professor of Political Science Emeritus at California State University at Fullerton, thanks so much for stopping by.
My pleasure, John.
But right now we're going through the sound of Mayor Karen and all of her plans for the city of Los Angeles.
Now, when she went on with Face the Nation, and the first subject was crime that she sidestepped, and the second subject was crime that she sidestepped, host of Face the Nation, Margaret Brennan, thought, okay, I know a way I can get her answer about crime. I'll ask about her crime, as in when the guns were stolen from her house.
Uh-oh.
You disclosed back in September that you yourself were a victim of burglary at your home, and you had two guns stolen at that time. And I wonder, did you have those guns because you felt unsafe in your own home? And did you go out and purchase new weapons?
I'd love to see Karen Bass at a gun store.
Oh, can you imagine that?
Now, Mayor, you're going to have to wait 10 to 14 days while we do the background check. But I'm mad now.
I have not purchased new weapons. I had two handguns.
You hear that? She's unarmed, everybody.
I wouldn't broadcast that, Karen.
I have not purchased new weapons. I had two handguns. I had owned them for a very, very, very long time. And
when they were coming for the commies.
Oh, yes. When she was brought into the world of politics by her love for Fidel Castro and she was ready for the revolution.
And I certainly believe in an individual's right to legally possess guns and properly store them. Mine were legally purchased and properly stored.
Mm-hmm.
But did they break into the safe then, or did they steal the safe? We never really got conclusion on that one.
Yeah, those guns might as well have been with Paul Pelosi.
Legally purchased and properly stored.
Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't encourage people to feel that they have to arm themselves to defend their own homes?
That's an interesting question.
I certainly hope. And, you know, one of the things that happened in the pandemic, not just in Los Angeles, but all across the country, was an increase in gun purchasing.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why we've had an increase in crime in Los Angeles is because of ghost guns. And ghost guns absolutely need to be cracked down on. And that's something that will be a focus of mine as well.
Well, she doesn't like the line of questioning that she's getting so far.
No. And so far, every answer is somehow tied to COVID.
That must be what her and her strategists have come up with to explain away all of the many failures that they're anticipating.
Well, she can't blame the city council. She has to work with them. It won't look good if she blames the outgoing mayor, even though he's responsible for a lot of this. They even know this in India.
Critics say this largely is Garcetti's fault.
But you can blame COVID. But then if you really want to go and blame COVID, at some point someone's got to ask her about LA's COVID policies and this lady.
No, thank you.
But of course, let's bring it back to the issue that gets the attention of the whole nation for what a dumpster fire Los Angeles is. Karen Bass, how are you going to handle the bums?
What is the long-term solution to the homelessness and housing crisis? Because housing affordability is pretty big problem in Los Angeles.
She could barely get that one out.
To Karen's credit, she allowed this woman to ask the question without cutting her off and screaming COVID.
Big problem in Los Angeles.
Absolutely right. Los Angeles has become unaffordable. You have to have...
What were you doing in Congress to fix that?
Or how about when you were Speaker of the California State Assembly?
What's Coco doing to address the affordability crisis?
Absolutely right. Los Angeles has become unaffordable. You have to have a comprehensive approach. There's no magic bullet. So first and foremost, you have to prevent people from falling into homelessness. And clearly, affordability is key to that. But, you know, people are on the streets for a variety of issues. And you have to...
Some of them it's meth. Some of them it's fentanyl.
How about COVID?
But, you know, people are on the streets for a variety of issues, and you have to address why they're there. Is it substance abuse?
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Is it mental illness? Is it just straight up affordability? We have people who are intense who actually work full time. We have thousands of.
Sure about that?
No, there's no one in a tent who's working full time.
You know, I just do this so I can move closer to work. So I wanted to make sure, since Skid Row's right next to the courthouse, that I'm a high-priced lawyer that lives in a tent.
Maybe camp counselors, but that's about it.
And you have to address why they're there. Is it substance abuse? Is it mental illness? Is it just straight-up affordability? We have people who are in tents who actually work full-time. We have thousands of children who are in tents, some with mothers who fled domestic violence, some who are teenagers who aged out of foster care, some people who were formerly incarcerated because they are not able to find housing are in tents. Mm-hmm. So we have to have a comprehensive approach and address the reasons why people were unhoused. But first and foremost, we have to get people off the streets. People are literally dying on the streets in Los Angeles, and this has got to stop.
Well,
was there any policy there?
No, there wasn't, because let's just take one of the points that she made, for example. She said people who are out of prison are marginally employable and cannot find apartments to rent. They cannot find housing. Okay. One of the things that you could do right away to fix that problem is to go after Prop 47, Prop 57, the prison realignment, and urge the state legislature to change those laws, change those initiatives, because by taking people who belong in prison and putting them out on the streets when you know they have zero chance of being productive members of society, and a judge and a jury have already determined that they're so much of a threat to society that they should be behind bars for a long time, how about putting those people back in prison as opposed to allowing them to live in encampments and prey on the communities that they live in, and prey, by the way, also on the homeless population that lives in those encampments? But she won't do that because that's not the woke position.
You know, if you go to the interview that she had with Margaret Bennett on Face the Nation and the interview she had with Alex Michelson on The Issue Is, I can piece together the first 100 days of the Karen Bass administration. We're going to have a list of where all the encampments are, and then we're going to have another list of why they're there.
She's going to get carpal tunnel. It's one. We've played for you many of the TikTok videos that the district attorney of Los Angeles County, George Gascon, has put up on social media. Well, Randy, we've got a new installment.
Episode 21, Gascon takes on three strikes.
I believe the three.
Nothing is more interesting to the kids than laws for the 90s about crime.
I believe the three strikes law has been one of the worst drivers of mass incarceration with no tangible public safety benefits that we have seen. The lengthening of prison terms started...
The lengthening?
The lengthening of prison...
Wait, did he start to go into a cotillion Spanish S there?
The lengthening of...
The lengthening?
Barcelona.
You know, this isn't live. You could do a second take.
The lengthening of prison terms.
The lengthening of prison terms. Usually he's Kermit, but today he's Sylvester.
The lengthening of prison terms starting in the 1970s is well documented as the main driver of mass incarceration.
Wait, what are you trying to say there? That when we extended prison terms, it meant that people were in prison longer?
Well, and we just heard from Mayor Karen about all the people who we let out of prison early, who now make up the homeless encampments or the population of the homeless encampments. And now he's saying that keeping people in prison is a horrible thing and led to all the problems that we have today.
But listen to this. This is the correlation. These are the studies that he goes off of. Studies show that if you keep people in prison longer, they'll be in prison longer.
The lengthening of prison terms starting in the 1970s is well documented as the main driver of mass incarceration.
Well, yes, because you lengthened them.
Oh, my God, this guy is so stupid.
Disproportionately affecting people of color. The three strikes law.
Gotta love the serious piano in the background.
The three strikes law became the most notorious enhancement law since its adoption in California in the 1990s. This excessively punitive sentencing law resulted in infamous cases, including when an Army veteran and a father of three, Leandro Andrade, received two life sentences after shoplifting movies for his kids.
What did he do the first two times?
Was he shoplifting VHS or Beta?
Well, it was the 90s. Could have been both.
Sentencing enhancements have never been shown to enhance public safety. In fact, the opposite may be true.
That's right. You keep people in jail longer, they'll commit crimes from that. No, wait, that doesn't make any sense.
Did any of you ever think that you'd live long enough to hear a district attorney putting videos on the internet telling you how awful it is to put criminals in prison?
Even the most creative Mad Libs user would have never gotten to that point.
Sentencing enhancements have never been shown to enhance public safety.
I can't really understand you now because you've got a really interesting piano riff going on behind you.
It sounds like he's doing this video at the food court at the mall where you've got the piano player who's just tickling the ivories behind him.
Sentencing enhancements have never been shown to enhance public safety. In fact, the opposite may be true.
That's right. The reason the streets are so unsafe is because we keep people in prison too long.
Makes perfect sense to me.
While initial incarceration prevents crime through incapacitation, studies show that additional sentence years cause a 4-7% increase in recidivism that eventually outweighs the benefits of incarceration.
There's a big whistle in that one.
Was it Sheila Kuehl?
While initial incarceration prevents crime through incapacitation, studies show that additional sentence years cause a 4-7% increase in recidivism that eventually outweighs the benefits of incarceration.
Sort of, snowflake weepy.
So this is the data and science he claims he bases his entire campaign off of. He's saying that longer prison sentences, having mandatory minimums for things like gang crimes and gun crimes, having enhancements, having the three strikes law are bad because it has shown a 4% increase in recidivism.
And you notice when he talks about the guy who went to prison for stealing the videos for his kids, he doesn't tell you what the first two strikes were, does he?
No. Don't want to know that.
Leaves that part out.
By avoiding harsh sentencing and investing in rehabilitation programs, we can reduce crime.
You know, that's not in your purview. The district attorney does not have any overview of how we spend our money in the jail system.
No. But he's a cheerleader for letting everyone out.
By avoiding harsh sentencing and investing in rehabilitation programs, we can reduce crime and help people improve their lives, which leads to healthier and safer communities. When I assumed office, I initiated a policy that effectively ended three strikes in Los Angeles.
And it was declared unconstitutional.
That's another key aspect that he left out.
In fact, he is fighting it, spending taxpayer money to go to the California Supreme Court because he has lost in the local and the state courts.
That policy was challenged in court, and our case is currently pending before the Supreme Court of California to decide whether we will have the ability to end this draconian tool in Los Angeles once and for all.
Oh, listen to that piano.
Was that last part even English?
To decide whether we will have the ability to end this draconian tool in Los Angeles once and for all.
It wasn't great. But that is Gascon's TikTok on why we should never be lengthening prison sentences.
The lengthening of prison terms.
And this is why you have to constantly look over your shoulder when you're pumping gas.
Someone might be lengthening their knife.
It's 155. This is Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.